Today's New Testament reading is the first epistle to Timothy, the fifth chapter. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household, and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God, and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Christopher Vossler from Trinity Lutheran Church in McFarland, Kansas.
Our text for today really doesn't have a lot of gospel in it. No, actually, our text today only has about 5 words of gospel in it. But then, the goal of this text is not to tell Timothy who Jesus is. Young Pastor Timothy already learned who Jesus is, what Jesus did for him, and where his hope comes from, first from his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, and then also from Paul himself. Rather, Paul's goal in writing this section of his first letter to Timothy is to encourage Timothy and give him instructions on how to treat certain groups in the church. Paul opens by reminding Timothy of the importance of treating everyone in the church with respect and honor. As a young pastor, Timothy is at quite a disadvantage when it comes to speaking with the older members of his congregation. After all, many of them may very well have had children and grandchildren his age. So for Timothy, as well as any young pastor or even anyone who is younger, it is important to treat elders with the respect they deserve. Something God has said from the beginning is a part of obeying the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. Respect an older man as a father and an older woman as a mother." Paul goes on to urge Timothy to show similar respect to those around his own age. Speak to those your own age as you would brothers and sisters, and that is what you really are in Christ. This, however, is only part of Paul's instructions on how to treat those in the church. From here, Paul narrows his focus to a particular group of women within the church, the widows. Care for widows and orphans has been near and dear to God's heart ever since death first entered the world. He instructed Israel to be particularly generous to those without means of support, a widow without a husband to provide for her, orphans without a father to provide for them, foreigners and transients without land of their own to harvest. This concern for widows carries over to the New Testament, where Jesus shows particular concern for the widow of Nain by raising her son from the dead. Paul here tells Timothy no different. Honor widows who are truly widows, that is, left all alone without family. If a widow has children and grandchildren around, her family must learn to practice godliness by providing for her needs. In other words, kids, you gotta take care of mom when she gets older. At the time, this of course meant bringing her into their home. Today it can look different. Sometimes it means bringing mom into your house, but other times it means finding a good nursing home and visiting regularly. There is no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to aging parents. But age and health do not negate the fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother whether you are in diapers or they are in the nursing home. When a woman is truly a widow left all alone, Paul tells Timothy that it is the church's responsibility to care for her. In his instructions, Paul describes enrolling a widow who meets certain criteria similar to those for an elder or deacon. Age, at least 60, faithful to her husband, good reputation, good mother, hospitable, service to the church, good works. Such women are to be enrolled on the list of widows, though Paul isn't entirely clear what this means. This may mean that they receive support from the church. It could also mean that they serve the church in specific ways. I would be inclined to think both are equally valid. After all, everyone can serve in the church regardless of their age. Youth gives energy, age gives wisdom, experience, and time. There is always a way that you can contribute to the ministry of the church. I mentioned at the outset that there is very little gospel in this passage. The gospel comes toward the beginning in verse 5 when Paul writes, "She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day." You see, this is really a picture of what it means to be a Christian. The fact that the woman is left completely alone makes it important for her to set her hope on God and pray to him regularly. But we also set our hope on God just as much. We hope in God because he created us, loves us, and cares for us. We hope in God because he is the source for everything we need to sustain this body and life. We hope in God because he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to forgive our sins of selfishness and self-centeredness. We hope in God because he sustains and strengthens our faith. We hope in God because even though people can and will fail us, he always remains faithful. Amen.
We thank Pastor Christopher Vossler from Trinity Lutheran Church in McFarland, Kansas, for today's meditation on God's Word.